With three stores at 174th and Maple and a shop in Fremont, Dillon Brothers has the motorcycle you're looking for. In addition to bikes, they also sell ATVs, side-by-sides, jet skis, and more. Check it all out at Dillon-Brothers.com.
Let's begin.
This is Game Time with Nick Vaughn.
It's time! It's time, sports fans!
Talking Huskers.
Touchdown, Huskers!
Blue Jays.
Yes! Oh, God! Get him on that!
Sports and more for you from 11 to 2.
As we proceed to give you what you need.
On 1620 The Zone, Zone app, and 1620thezone.com. Live from the Nissan of Omaha studio, here's Nick Baugh.
Game time, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and of course the 1620 The Zone mobile app. Welcome in. Beautiful Tuesday here. Last show of the week for me. I'm hitting the road tomorrow. Heading to Minnesota.
Now's the time to drop the hottest of takes.
And then if there's in a week, people will forget what you said in a week. Like, he said what now?
He said Nebraska's going to win the Big Ten. That's what he said.
So Nebraska's going to make a college football playoff. That's what he said. Got a good show today. Three good guests, a lot of good content. And something happened this morning for me driving into work that's just like one of those little victories in life that you kind of that I think we'll all be able to relate to. I'll lay that out for you here in a little bit, but. You know, got a bunch of different things I wanted to hit on, and I guess we got to probably start with this. The big news going on right now in Husker world is that was pretty much confirmed yesterday is that Elijah Blades is not coming to Nebraska, 2017 big-time defensive back recruit, Rivals top 150 player. Instead, he is heading to Arizona Western Junior College, and so he's not coming to Nebraska. Certainly a blow. Considering his talent level as a highly touted recruit and the injury situation, of course, with Chris Jones. I mean, there were a lot of people that said that he could have potentially been a starter. You know, he could have come in and competed for a starting spot right away. So who knows? All I do know is that Elijah Blades isn't coming. And he opened up. It was interesting last night. You know, he tweeted out. I don't know if you guys were following it last night. I don't follow him on Twitter, but you know all the recruiting guys were kind of retweeting it. He tweeted out, got some things I want to get off my chest, want to tell my story. If a reporter wants to talk to me, hit me up. And our very own Brian Munson was able to catch up with him, and he opened up with some interesting things about what's happened, and I'll kind of lay it out for you and then give you my reaction. So one of the questions was being a partial qualifier a possibility – at Nebraska? Says yes, partial was a possibility, but I decided not to. Went on to ask, did you decide not to take the partial opportunity because you didn't want to go to Nebraska after all? Elijah Blades said, quote, you can say that. It seemed that at Nebraska, I was going to get eligible to play. I thought it would be easier. Fans thought I was scared of competition because I decommitted, but that had nothing to do with it. I'm a competitor, and that's why what I play the game for. Went on, he asked Elijah Blades, even after you committed and signed with Nebraska, you doubted the fit of you with Nebraska? And he said, yes, but I do love their fan support. Was then asked, do you think you'll eventually go to Nebraska? He said, I don't think so. Then there's kind of this interesting answer. Says, do you feel like, this is Husker Online asking him, do you feel like you were tricked at all into believing you would qualify at Nebraska? Meaning, do you feel like you could have qualified at other schools in the end? And he says, somewhat. So, that's kind of a little bit of a window into what Blade's side of the story is. Also, Sean Callahan caught up with Arizona Western's junior college coach Minnick. And he said that Nebraska pretty much had no contact with him throughout this process. He said, quote, if Nebraska would have placed him here, he'd be protected. But Nebraska didn't place him here so he could go anywhere he wants. If Nebraska would have called and said, hey, we want to send this kid here and get him back, it would be a different story. They didn't call me about him. We recruited him so he could go wherever he wants to go. So, I mean, he said it as much, and I think all this makes it pretty clear that Elijah Blades isn't ever coming to Nebraska. And there's a lot in there. Whenever a player doesn't qualify, isn't eligible, I think it's got to start with Elijah Blades is the one who didn't qualify. So I think you have to, instead of going down the excuse path, I think to a certain extent, he's got to own this a little bit. You know, I don't know exactly what was being said between Nebraska and Elijah Blades. And you also can't help but wonder if Elijah Blades was maybe misinterpreting what Nebraska was saying. On basically, I think he feels like he was maybe lied to or misled on his ability to get eligible at Nebraska. But he said he had no interest in being a partial qualifier. And so I think, again, this is my head. I think he committed and signed with Nebraska. I think he felt in his mind he was giving up on schools that were maybe a better fit in exchange for a place that would absolutely get him qualified. And once that fell through, he was not all in on Nebraska. And I think the interpretation of getting him qualified from Nebraska to Blades, that can certainly get lost in translation. Because I could totally see Elijah Blades thinking to himself, all right, cool, Nebraska's saying they're going to get me qualified. They're going to take care of all of that. I'm good to go. And what maybe he failed to realize is this whole thing's a two-way street here. Like, he's got some, he had to do some work here. And there's no doubt that most big-time college football and college basketball programs will do everything they can possibly do to get a elite recruit qualified, enrolled, and eligible at their school. But here's the thing. There hits a point where there's only so much a school can do. You're like, Nebraska and that athletic department and the football program, I'm sure they exhausted everything they could possibly do to help Elijah Blades. But there hits a point where there are certain things they can't help or change. You know what I mean? Like, hey, yeah, we're going to do all we can to make sure that you get eligible, but like, you also have to do a little work yourself. You also have to get XYZ, you got to get this test score, you got to take care of this, you got to take care of that. There's certain things that Nebraska can't 100% hold Elijah Blades' hand throughout this whole process. So I think that's a little bit of what happened there. You know, and it comes down to interpretation. Like, Elijah Blades felt like he was misled. I mean, again, you can't help but how he interprets things. I take it as Nebraska probably did all they could, but Elijah Blades had to kind of hold up his end of the bargain, and I don't think he necessarily did. And, you know, it's weird. I think in this world of sports media, I think we always kind of want to place blame and play the blame game. And I don't know about who's to blame or who looks bad here. I think it's a bad situation, so I don't think anyone looks great. But like I said, I mean, I've always said that when players can't get enrolled or they become academically ineligible at major college football and college basketball programs, that takes us a pretty special kind of lazy on the player. Because, I mean, they have guys like over at Nebraska, Dennis LeBlanc, guys like Steve Brace, Lisa Chips over at Creighton. Like, their sole jobs are to make sure Marcus Foster stays eligible and DeMorne Pearsonell stays eligible. Like, that's what their job is. They are going to do all they can to make sure that you are able to play on Saturdays. And there hits a point where it's like if a little bit of it's on you, you know? Like the whole, like Nate Gary being academically ineligible and not being able to play in the bowl game, like that's on Nate. So I don't think necessarily Nebraska looks bad here. I don't think they look great because it's, you know, there's a kid they signed that's not coming that at least in his mind feels like he was maybe misled a little bit, which I, you know, I mean, a part of me questions that. But it is what it is. Like, Both sides are moving on, clearly. Nebraska didn't contact Arizona Western Junior College. Elijah Blades basically said that, hey, I'm not going to come to Nebraska. And we should probably all move on, too. I mean, it's a kid that still never played a down at Nebraska. I know he was highly touted. Was he going to be a baller? I don't know. So he's going to a junior college, and there you go. So that's pretty much my read on it from the outside looking in. 402-951-1620. Let's grab Jesse real quick before we take a break. What's up, Jesse? Go ahead.
Yeah, Nick, I was trying to figure out what way to go with this call, but I'm just going to go with this. Kudos to you for putting the blame on the kid because, all right, I'll just lay it out there. I was not a great student in high school. I was maybe a C kid. 96 kids in my class. I was probably somewhere in the 80s, but I made it out the door. And you know what? I got accepted to every single state college I applied to. So to be academically ineligible means you can't even get into school, right?
Right, right.
You can't get accepted to the college. So at what point do we look at it from just get out of sports and look at this kid? I know we all want the greatest athletes, but get away from sports and look at this guy and go, does this guy even deserve to go to any college with what he did? There's a point where it's on you, and you're lazy, and you're not lazy. And do you want a guy who's not going to put in the absolute bare minimum in the classroom? Do you want that guy in your locker room? And I don't think you do, and I don't think anybody loses anything here.
Yeah, Jesse, I appreciate the phone call. Okay. You know, I don't want to go that far to be like, hey, good riddance, the kid doesn't deserve the opportunity to go to college and play sport. Like, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody goes through different things. And you know, we don't know what was going on behind closed doors. You know, what the people were like at his high school. You know, I will say if we're going to kind of divvy out the blame, the vast majority of it to me falls on him. It falls on him. And I'm sure Nebraska, I'd imagine behind closed doors, that pitch from Riley was like, listen, Elijah, man, we got a great academic support group here that, you know, they wake up and they think about these things and they go to bed thinking about these things. They're going to do all they can to make sure that you are eligible and you qualify and can play right away here at Nebraska. But you also need to take care of your business. And to me, it kind of sounds like Elijah Blades heard everything up until the butt. Great. All right. So all these people here are going to take care of it. I'll be good to go. Yeah. There hits a level of a personal accountability that I just don't think was there. Now there's a lot to unpack with that. And I know Damon and Dan were talking about it this morning. Just, you know, are we doing all we can do, at the high school level to get these kids totally ready to rock? You know, there's a lot in there. But at least today, the Elijah Blades saga at Nebraska, that book's officially closed. Doesn't look great for Nebraska, but I still place the vast majority of, if you want to call it blame, I guess you can. I think ultimately this is still largely on him. 402-951-1620. Okay, set up the show. Today I'm going to be giving my, and this was tough, and I tweeted it out, and it was so interesting to get some of the answers from people. Ranking Nebraska's position groups from best to worst. And, you know, I mean, worst is maybe harsh, but just kind of from best to, if we're in this PC world, the not quite as good as everything else. But I broke it down into seven position groups. Quarterbacks, running backs, offensive line, wide receiver and tight ends I put in one group, defensive line, linebackers, and defensive backs. So I'm going to give my rankings from best to worst. And it was interesting, man. There was a lot to take away from trying to do this. So I'm going to do that. You can certainly chime in the conversation on Twitter at Nick Baugh or email me, nick@1620thezone.com, or hit me on the Hardy's hotline, 402-951-1620. Robin Washit's going to stop by in 15 minutes. Andy Kendi, KETV sports director, in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll talk some Husker football with them as Media Days is just around the corner. And then Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, national columnist, one of my favorite guys to talk to, is going to stop by. We'll talk a little Mayweather-McGregor with Dan after their press tour is all done last week. So that's all coming up on the show today. Let's take a break. Some interesting things coming out of Washington with Kirk Cousins, too. mean, it's kind of some unprecedented stuff happening yesterday. Off and running on a Tuesday. Game time.